I'll just add a couple little things. One of them is about the number 300. Mark mentioned Bill Britton, and I think he's known as one of the first men to get the revelation from God, how God does everything in threes: Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We're a spirit, soul, and body. I've heard the atom has three parts, and in each of those parts, that part has three parts. So God does things in three. So, and the spiritual meaning of number three is fullness. Okay. And the spiritual meaning of zero is Christ. And a couple of the reasons for that is zero is the only number that has no beginning and no end. You don't put the pencil down and do the thing and stop, and there's a beginning and end. It's a continual circle. So we know who's the one that has no beginning and no end. And also, the word zero actually came, it was the word sero, which actually meant seed. And we know that Christ is the seed of God. So the number 300 is the group fullness of Christ. So that's just one more confirmation to what this 300 company is all about. And then one other little thing, anybody that doesn't think that their kids are listening and watching, I've got a story to tell you. Most of you know Pete Schneider. One time Pete Schneider was somewhere with one of his little grandkids. And this group of men was there, and they had earrings and nose rings and all that kind of stuff. And this little kid leans over to Peter and whispers, "Ishmaelites." Believe me, your kids are listening and they're watching. Amen.
I'm actually not so surprised anymore, but we've had people come here, construction workers. I mean, come on, Jeremy, construction workers. These guys are not supposed to be effeminate guys. And these guys running around on our roof and all that, they got a little earring in their ear. A man would never consider that when I was a kid, unless he wanted everybody to call him a fool.
You know what just came to my mind, Mark, when you said that? It's kind of no longer a thought of feminizing. It's more of a almost a masculine thing now. And the thought that came to my head was those that put good for evil and evil for good. The whole thing has changed now.
Well, I don't want to be considered a feminine, nor do I want to be considered an Ishmaelite, nor do I want to be involved in Midianites. Well, I hope that I didn't say it all. Thank you, Mike.
I thought it was a really good word, Mark. And I this doesn't really have much to do with anything, but here in California, every few years we have a swarm of grasshoppers. Up in the foothills, where there's no irrigation, by the time it's about May, all the grass is brown, all dried up and brown. And about 30 miles from where I live, we have a reservoir called Lake McClure. And I've fished there quite a few times. and I have some friends that live within about 15 minutes of this reservoir. And every once in a while, they call me and say, Mike, the grasshoppers are here. And I run up there to go fishing, and there's swarms of grasshoppers landing on the water, and the fish are jumping up and eating them, and they're landing all over you on your pants and legs, all over the ground. And we just catch one, put it on the hook, and throw it in there and start catching fish. And when the grasshopper gets torn to smithereens, we just grab another one. And you know what I mean? You can catch your limit of trout in about 5 minutes.
Well, there were men, entomologists and what have you, that claimed that these farmers should eat these things. And by the way, they are listed as a clean food. I mean, I haven't had a desire to eat them, although I one time I did. When I was in college, young and foolish, and I wanted to impress some of the girls, I went down to the Kroger supermarket and I bought a can of fried grasshoppers. And I would come in front of some of the girls and I would pop that thing in my mouth. They're edible, but I wouldn't really go out of my way to get more of them.
That's what John the Baptist ate, honey and locust.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Anyway, some of these guys were printing recipes on how to. The chickens, by the way, were really having a great time eating these locusts, but it said that it ruined the taste of the meat and the eggs of these chickens. It somehow made it taste, well, the chickens weren't eating grain anymore, and they didn't like the taste of the chickens.
When we were living in Texas, we had a swarm of crickets came about to the point that in just about overnight they all died. But the area was so stinky, they were shutting businesses down, including banks in the area, because nobody could stand the smell.
Well, the locusts too, Howard. They were very smelly. You know, it drove some of these homesteaders right out of business. They just couldn't endure. First the drought, and then the locusts. They just abandoned their homestead, and it was just 1872, I think, that the Homestead Act was put into law. And anybody that by the way, that's still a law. If you can go out and find vacant land anywhere, I think the only place to find it now would be some very, very remote places of Alaska. And if you could stay on that land for 3 years and cultivate a certain percent of it, you could become the owner of that land. But it many see they had a new railroad now that went coast to coast, and just many, many people from the East Coast were going out. They wanted a new life, they wanted to own their own property. They had come from Europe where they where some lord owned all the property. And a common man could not own property in those days. So this was really a great opportunity. They didn't have to go by covered wagon. They could now ride by train and get off anywhere they wanted to. But this just wrought havoc. And reading about the havoc, I can't help but think this had to be some kind of a judgment on the sins of the people of America. In addition to the much blood that was shed in the Civil War, much blood was shed. So I think America, for a season of time, really came into judgment of God. And I can't help but believe we're coming into a greater judgment now because of not the sin of necessarily of slavery, but the sins of, oh, the horrible things that people are doing to try to rebel against God, rebelling against his creation, rebelling against that God made them male and female, rebelling, trying to act in a different manner than God created for male and female gender, for sex, you know, this type of thing. Totally
also,
trying to,
what? And also abortion.
And killing the seed of man, yes. Killing. You know, I think what kind of attitude do you have to have? You know, first of all, I'm thinking, what kind of attitude does a man have to believe that he can sell human beings? You know, the men in these slave ships, to believe that they could come to these Arabs, and by the way, they were Muslims at this time. That they could go into the villages of Alaska and buy up slaves and to treat them like cattle. But you see, I understand how Muslims can do this because they regard their women as chattel. Want a wife? Go out and buy a wife. To this day, there's a place in North Africa, I don't know about this year, but 10 or 20 years ago, I read how men from the Arab places would go to this place where they had an annual place where the women would be gathered. Men would bring their daughters. I forget the name. It was somewhere in North Africa. Maybe some of you know where it is. They would bring their daughters, and they would make deals and sell their daughters to some of these Arabic men. And it wasn't very long ago. Maybe they don't even write about it anymore. Maybe they're ashamed to write it. But I still believe it happens. Kidnapping? Yes, that's still going on. I read of one just the other day. Fellow kidnapped a girl. And he said he was going to give her so many weeks to decide if she would not agree to marry him, he was going to kill her. Somehow she got away. She got free. Treating other human beings in this manner.
Mark, I've been contemplating this myself, that it says in the last, it's the beast nature within man that overtakes him, and it's the sex trafficking also that is going on is horrendous. They're taking children and selling them. It's worldwide. It's not just in North Africa. It is all over the world. And it says that because a man is godless, that I always thought this is just silly, Connie. When I first became a Christian, and I read somewhere in the scripture it said about the beast being loosed, and I thought, oh, they're not going to be able to feed all the wild animals in the zoo, and they're going to be have to let them go and fend for themselves. But it wasn't that. It's the beast nature that is in mankind if he is not regenerated by the blood of Jesus that does these wicked, horrendous, horrific things.
You know, brethren, most prostitution, and I'm not going to give a number, but I believe it's very close to 90, if not more. These women are not private enterprise entrepreneurs of any kind. They are slaves. They are slaves. And, you know, this is the thing that the last maybe 10 years, hordes of these kind of people, locust type people, have been coming in to America. Now, maybe it's happening in other places too. I'm not aware. I'm mainly aware of what's happening right here. I believe it's happening in Europe. I don't believe it's happening so much in places like Nigeria or Ethiopia. Not Ethiopia. I know many, many good Christian brethren in Ethiopia. But places like Somalia, places like Yemen, this is the origin, I believe, of much of, and their goal, they've stated their goal that they intend to come in and they intend to take over in places that have Christian freedom and this type of thing. They intend to do it by means of democracy. They will come in and they will not abort their children. They will have large families. If they can get away with it, they'll have many, as many wives as they can get away with. And they will overwhelm the original population of that land. And eventually they will overcome, and then they will force their religion and force out such as Christianity. No, I see the Muslim spirit. I see the locust spirit in this. And this is what's really causing, I don't think Trump realizes that it's a locust spirit. I think he's just trying to undo what Biden did. But that's actually what is causing all the resistance. The resistance is really Democrat, liberal, far left thinking that is in agreement with this spirit to change the whole culture. Now the culture of America was founded on people that were escaping tribulation. In particular, they were escaping Catholicism, okay? And they came here, the beginning, the pilgrims, the ones that first came, weren't coming looking for gold or anything like that. They wanted to be free to worship in the manner that they wished to do so. Now, they weren't necessarily following the fullness of the Word of God. I don't think they all understood it. But they were trying to do what they felt was right. And this is the culture that Satan hates. He's polluting it in any way he can. He of course, is polluting Protestant Christianity. He's polluting it with Catholicism. He's polluting it with compromise in any manner that he can. And he will pollute it with bringing locust spirits in to overwhelm it. Now, that's my belief. You can believe what you like.
I agree with you, Mark.
No, in...
Go ahead, Brother Opie.
In the book of Joel, God talks about the locusts and the grasshoppers and the permanent worm.
Yes.
I think it is a connotation for wicked spirits that God uses when his people turn away from him. You know, these spirits have just one idea: to plunder, to destroy, and to maim. It is a spirit. And another name that God uses for these spirits is the Northern Army.
The what? Oh, Northern Army.
Northern Army. Yes. So God uses them to discipline his people and turn them back to himself. So the locusts in Joel are said to be in so much order that they don't break their ranks.
They are fierce. They are accurate in their plundering. So what one set has remained from the plundering, another set comes to devour. So by the time they finish, the whole earth is plundered. So it's a spirit that is so wicked that it does not leave anything behind when it comes to destroy. And God, I believe, is warning us, his people, the consequences of turning away from him to worship or serve other gods. Then he has this army that is well organized to punish and to turn his people back to himself. So the northern army, the grasshoppers, the locusts, the palmer worms are people. They are human beings that God uses whenever his people turn away from him. Praise the Lord.
And some of them are ex-human beings who are now demons coming to try to inhabit the souls of living mortal people.
One thing that just came to me from what Opie said, I told you about those grasshoppers in California, and I heard that they lay their eggs in the ground, and it takes like 3 or 4 years for them to hatch. And it also takes certain conditions, like a certain moisture in the ground. You know, if you have a dry year, maybe it takes them longer. Anyway, the thought that came to me was all this Muslim, whatever you want to call it, they're laying their eggs in the ground here right now, and they're going to be hatching one of these days.
Yeah, in the natural history of that thing, Mike, there were a combination of things that finally brought this thing to an end. One was the farmers got out and began plowing the ground. And plowing the ground apparently interrupted their cycle of where they had laid their eggs. A second thing happened is that when the larva came forth, just the wiggly worm things, there came a late hard frost that God sent across the land, and it killed almost all the larvae. So, you know, God is able to bring it, and God is able to bring it to an end. And I'll just summarize it, brethren. Let's be part of that Gideon 300 company. It isn't a great crowd, it's a minor part of God's people. Let's say the sons of God. And we're going to be involved in bringing this thing to an end.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, has everybody said what God has put on your heart for us? Emma, did you have anything more to add to this? Larry, did you have anything more? Opie? Alan? You don't have these things over in the Philippines, do you?
One last little thing that I thought was, you know, the fact that those locusts were eating wooden handles and fabric and all that kind of stuff, to me, that just almost proves that it was God, because wouldn't those things have been eating the people too? You know, you'd think if they'd practically eat anything, why didn't they just eat all the people? I think God was keeping them from being able to do that. So I think it was proof that this plague was from God, and he was protecting a certain element in it, and he's going to protect us too when this comes.
Well, these farmers would come into their home to go to bed at night, and before they get in their bed, they would have to shake the bed, shake the sheets and what have you, to make sure that there was none of these things inside of their sheets. And it said that some of them would have to shake their bed in the middle of the night to get rid of them. I don't know how these people, I don't know how a woman could endure a thing like that. I mean, I can, a man might harden himself and say, well, that's the way it is. We're in the army. This is what we got to put up with. But it affected everybody, little children even. Okay, well, I guess we've come to the end of our sharing time. And we can say our goodbye if we like.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless. God bless you, brethren.
Bless you
all. God bless everyone.
Bless you. Appreciate
it. Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao.